Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To Ethiopia, the news. Ethiopia completed the fourth and final filling of its contentious dam on the Nile River's main tributary, according to the Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed. I welcome Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the editor and publisher, who has been my guide in Ethiopia these many years, especially now since the driving wedge between Ethiopia and its partners on the Nile, that would be chiefly Egypt, but also Sudan. The driving wedge has been this dam and the claim by some in Cairo that it deprives the Nile of water, when in fact this is a hydroelectric dam. Gregory, a very good evening to you. Ethiopia and good news. It's a good start. However, we need to look at all of Ethiopia's troubles these last months and years, because it is now invited to be one of the new members of BRICS. Prime Minister Abiy is celebrating the filling of the dam. Why was this a source of what you'd have to say genuine conflict these many years in Cairo? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, first, I think we should acknowledge that it is today Enkutatash, the Ethiopian New Year. So we have to say to all the Ethiopian listeners in Amharic, Melkam Ades Amat, which is Happy New Year. This is the start of 2016 in the Ethiopian Julian calendar, and a lot of celebrations underway. And in fact, last night I had dinner with the president of the Ethiopian Crown Council, Emperor Haile Selassie's grandson, Prince Hermias Haile Selassie, and he was optimistic. He'd just done his New Year's broadcast in Amharic to the world Ethiopian community, which he was calling for some calm in the face of all of the troubles in Ethiopia. And yes, the good news out of Ethiopia is that the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam has now completed its final filling and is now fully operational and starting its hydroelectric power generation, which will primarily benefit the Sudanese population. So this is a big energy export program for Ethiopia. And the dam was controversial largely because it was highly symbolic from the point of view of the Egyptians, who are running out of water in some respects. This they blamed on Ethiopia and the Ethiopian dam on the Blue Nile, which is the primary water source for the Nile, which flows down into Egypt and combines a bit further into Sudan with the White Nile, providing the bulk of Egypt's water. The reality is that it's not that Ethiopia was denying water to Sudan or downstream to Egypt. Rather, it's the Egyptian population, which has quadrupled since the time of Gamal Abdel Nasser in the 1960s, when they built the big Stalinist Soviet dam, the Aswan High Dam, which has been performing very badly. At the same time, you've had the population of Cairo, the capital on the Nile, has increased in size by more than sevenfold, and urban populations, as you know, tend to consume more water than rural populations. So you've got this massive Egyptian problem, which they have not addressed for many years, and now they're finding a crisis. As a result, they wanted someone to blame, and that was Ethiopia, because it was building a dam. Nonetheless, the Egyptian president, President Sisi, who's coming up for elections, knows really that this is not a problem of Ethiopia's making, but rather a problem which he cannot address inside Egypt itself. So the scapegoat for the media in Egypt has been Ethiopia, and they've threatened war, which frankly I don't think they ever intended to carry through with, maybe some skirmishes and the like. But the reality is that if they knocked down the Ethiopian dam, there'd be no more water anyway flowing down into Egypt. But the other good news out of Ethiopia, and we have to search for it these days, is that Ethiopia has now started producing a surplus of grain crops, particularly wheat. So it's become a net exporter of wheat. This is very, very profound because it's done this in the third successive year of the La Nina weather aberrations, which have caused a drought throughout much of the country. And yet it is now increasingly capable of feeding itself, which in some ways takes away some of the leverage which the United States had as a provider of food aid to the country. And Washington has been relying on having some leverage in Addis Ababa, and because it's really failed to compete with other suitors for Ethiopia's attention. This is critical because Ethiopia is the dominant power in the Horn of Africa. And despite the fact that it no longer has a direct access to the shores of the Red Sea, is nonetheless the power which controls the stability of the Horn and therefore the stability of the Red Sea, Suez Canal, sea lane. That, of course, is particularly of concern in Cairo, but also to the rest of the world because it's the principal maritime artery for much of the world's trade. So you've got that situation underway, and you've got the civil war inside Ethiopia, which is taking on a new dimension as Prime Minister Abiy attempts to consolidate his power. And he has fallen back on the pattern of some of his predecessor in the communist governments, which been there since 1974, essentially has been looking at a divide and rule policy. And at the moment, having completed the civil war, if you like, against the Tigrayans, because the Tigrayan Popular Liberation Front, a Marxist extremist group, which used to be the controlling power in Ethiopia, in opposition, they launched a civil war against the rest of the country so that Tigray province, which is about 6% of the population, could secede. That's failed. And now Prime Minister Abiy, who's half Oromo ethnically and head of the Oromo political movement, is basically under pressure from his own people to continue to punish other non-Oromo peoples, particularly the Amhara peoples, which is the core, if you like, of Ethiopian unity. So you've seen this war start again by the Ethiopian National Defense Force, largely manned by Oromo people, against the Amhara militia group, the state militia. In the last week, we've seen the Ethiopian National Defense Force engaged in very heavy fighting around Bahir Dar, the capital of Amhara region, and at Gondar, one of the second largest city in the Amhara region and home of the Gondar Castle. And by the way, the scene of the last great battle which drove the Italians out of Ethiopia in 1941 with British and Allied help. That was the first great victory of World War II. The first time the Axis powers had been driven from occupied territories. So there's now fighting around Gondar and Gondar Castle again. And Lalibela, the incredible historical site where you've got those great, beautiful churches carved out of the rock down into the deep into the rocks. You've got four or five beautiful, enormous churches there, which has been a great tourist site and, of course, a World Heritage site as well. There's fighting around there. Interestingly enough, the militia from the Amhara region called the Fano, which basically means volunteers, they've had just small arms, AK-47s and the like, and yet they were able to absolutely punish the Ethiopian National Defense Force, which has been armed with tanks and other armored vehicles, and UCAVs, unmanned combat aerial vehicles, drones, armed drones. And they've had enormous success in defending the Amhara region from the encroachments of Prime Minister Abiy.
Gregory, I wanted to ask, because the TPLF during that phase of the Civil War had friends outside, even in Washington. Do the Amhara have similar friends in Washington or in Europe?
Not so much in Washington and Europe, other than the traditional Friends of Ethiopian Unity, who supported Emperor Haile Selassie and so on, because he was essentially representing, as much as anything, the Amhara core of the country, because that's the ultra Solomonic region, if you like, not exclusively, because even Tigray itself was very much part of the Solomonic pattern. But the Amhara region has the absolute support of the government of Eritrea.
I see.
So that's critical. The government of Eritrea, which sided with Prime Minister Abiy when he first came into office a couple of years ago and helped him, if you like, get that Nobel Peace Prize because he ended the border war between Ethiopia and Eritrea. Now the Eritrean government is saying to Abiy, okay, do not encroach on the Amhara lands because we will support the Amhara.
And right now the contest is between the national government and the Amhara. Are there talks in any fashion the way there came to be at the TPLF, or is this just a gunfight?
It's just a gunfight at the moment. The Oromo are really pushing for a genocidal war against the Amhara and against other supporters of the Ethiopian National Church, which is the Ethiopian Tewahedo Orthodox Church, which is the, if you like, the national church of Ethiopia. A lot of the Oromo are either Marxist or Pentecostal and the like, but a lot of them are themselves Orthodox, and they are being punished as well by the Oromo Liberation Front and the present government of Prime Minister Abiy. So it's a mixed situation at the moment. I think Abiy has miscalculated. He wants basically to be seen as the next messianic leader of Ethiopia, and yet he's conflicted in this regard. And what he's brought on now is a lot of chaos, even in the capital,
Addis Ababa. We have about a minute, Gregory. Does the invitation by the BRICS introduce any moment of a negotiation or accommodation here, or is it entirely secondary to the fighting?
I think it's not secondary, but it allows Ethiopia and the other new BRICS members to move ahead with trade in other than U.S. dollars. So they'll trade in yuan, dirhams from the UAE or whatever they can use, or in barter and counter trade, so that they're not caught by the US dollar sanctions regime. That's what they're all really rebelling against. But of course, it's interesting that you've got mutually hostile members of BRICS now joining that organization, Egypt and Ethiopia, for example, right, being primary partners.
And Tehran and Riyadh. So right now, the gunfight will continue. The BRICS invitation stands, and Prime Minister Abiy is in charge of the Grand Renaissance Dam and the capital, Addis Ababa. And the civil war is without end, even though they've moved from fighting the TPLF to fighting the Amhara. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're headed to the remains of the G20 in Delhi. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
What if you could get more from what you already do? When you're a Shell Fuel Rewards member, you can. When you join, you'll save 10 cents per gallon on your first fill, 20 cents per gallon on your second, 30 cents per gallon on your third, and more savings on every fill after that. Join the Shell Fuel Rewards program in the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is closer than you think.
Eczema's unrelenting itch and rash. If you know the feeling, you should know the facts. The eczema medication you're taking may not be right for you. Visit MyRawTruth.com and talk to your dermatologist about your symptoms and treatment options.
Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.